Blog Talk Radio.
Well, Moses is a message, got to get the message to our brothers and sisters.
brothers and sisters, Habari Ghani. And how is everyone doing this evening? We've got to get the message to our brothers and sisters. We're glad that you could join us this evening. And we want to welcome all of our old friends and say, what's up? And to our new friends, we say, Alafia, come in and have a seat. We welcome you. Ladies and gentlemen, this is our new segment of 120 Minutes, and we are now live on the air. As to get rid of all of the housekeeping work, we want to get that out of the way. We want to remind you, ladies and gentlemen, that we do have a call-in number, and that number is 646-478-0270, and you can punch those digits. Go ahead on, Lil G. Punch those digits and call in and get your questions answered. Don't sit there with questions and know you could call in. Omi welcomes you. I am your advocate, the one you need, and I am your advisor, the one you want, and I'm certainly your emperor. I am here to serve you. I am here to serve you, ladies and gentlemen. Once again, we'd like to welcome you to our show today, our segment on helping babies from the bench. That's right. We're doing our part to help those little critters out there, and I just love them so much. Come here, let me paint you a little draw. They are the sweetest things in the world. You can't resist them. They actually have the key to my heart, and that's why I am lecturing about what it is we could do to help the judges to adjudicate the cases and get them completed and get the best service for the baby. That's right. You know baby can't wait. So you're going to have to give baby what she wants. So we're bringing it to her hot and heavy, and we're asking all of you to join us in helping. This is a team effort, ladies and gentlemen. We are now compiling our male practice team of people who will be influential in speaking to the judge and representing a community of people who can give advice to the judge on what baby needs and has background knowledge that she can offer the judge. Now, tonight we're going to feature one of our guests who is a longtime volunteer, and she has volunteered from working with the United States President to working in the neighborhood, giving all of her skills and work. And as well, ladies and gentlemen, she's actually volunteered to take a permanent spot on our radio show just to bring to our families conscious information about what is going on in the political scene. Either she'll be giving us some fresh new knowledge and getting the pulse of the people, or she'll be talking about the program she's going to implement in the Near North Community area out in northern Indiana, also in the Calumet Township. Lauren comes to us with a long time experience of working in administrative positions. Her desire is to become an administrator. Wouldn't you know it? I met her several years ago, and she didn't know that we were reintroducing ourselves to each other. I knew her as a professional then, and I was rather glad that I was going to be on her team and that she was going to be the trainer this time. And I invited her to come on this show to talk to you about what she thinks babies need and what she could offer in a community to volunteer her time to help the judges to adjudicate all of these backlog cases. That's right, ladies and gentlemen. For those of you who have these background and experience in working in education, family law, working as a social worker, as a therapist, you might even want to form your own team to go in and assist the judge with these backlog cases. Now, of course, you got to have some kind of experience. You don't want to go skipping in the glory to my eyes here to help. Well, what can you do? I can do my little dance. He's not looking for no little dance. He wants you to come in and go to work. Okay, ladies and gentlemen, the judges have much work to do. And you can formalize your team if you want and find out what your state has to offer in the way of training and development. And once you come into their organization, you do the training for them. What you're doing is training the court team so that they will know exactly what to do and what to offer the judge, and making sure that the judge evaluates the baby and gives the baby all the practical services that he or she needs. Now, this evening, Lauren will be talking to us about some of those newfound things that are being planned for 2011 and 2012 in the way of the White House. President Obama has nominated her for the location here in northern Indiana, preferably in the area of Maryville, as well as in the area of Calumet. And she, along with others, have been nominated to head up the team to develop a plan for the community and families. Now, wouldn't that be appropriate? We've been working with families, and families need to be informed as to what is being offered to them. They need to know what is going on and what it is that they have to do. Now, ladies and gentlemen, I'm going to say hello to my guests, and then we're going to get right into our prayer. We cannot proceed without asking permission from our elders and greeting our ancestors. Let me greet my guest and say hello while she's in the atmosphere. Caller number 219-671, you're in the atmosphere.
Hi, Sherelle. This is Lauren Jones calling. How are you doing?
Hello, Lauren Jones. We were just talking about you. Wouldn't you believe that? Lauren, we gave you a slight introduction, but I want to give more information about you and some of the things you're doing. And I'm going to leave room for you to fill in anything that I may leave out. I've already been telling them your desire for you to be an administrator, but I also told them that you've agreed to be one of our team members to bring to the listening audience information for families. And today we're going to talk to you about what do you think the judge needs as a recommendation as to expediently offer services for infants and toddlers so that he could clear up the backlog. And how can you be an actual advocate and a volunteer to make recommendations to the judge? And I want you to put that in your pipe and smoke it, and we'll come back to you in a second, Mrs. Jones, to ask you your opinion about that. But right now, I want to say a few more good things about you, and we're going to bring you right back in the atmosphere right after our prayer. So stay tuned for station identification. Nikki Giovanni will bring us some live poetry.
Cadman presents the African American Audio Experience, including Black Boy by Richard Wright, A Raisin in the Sun by Lorraine Hansberry, selections from the Nikki Giovanni Poetry Collection, selections from the Tall Tales chapter of Every Tongue Got to Confess by Zora Neale Hurston, three poems by Gwendolyn Brooks, and selections from Langston Hughes Reads.
Nikki Giovanni.
Cadman presents the African American.
Now, Nikki Giovanni is starting to repeat herself, and we're going to have to bring on Rosa Parks to help her out here.
Rosa Parks. This is for the Pullman Porters, who organized when people said they couldn't, and carried the Pittsburgh Courier and the Chicago Defender to the Black Americans in the South so that they would know they were not alone. This is for the Pullman Porters, who helped Thurgood Marshall go south and come back north to fight the fight that resulted in Brown versus Board of Education. Because even though Kansas is west, and even though Topeka is the birthplace of Gwendolyn Brooks, who wrote The Power for the Chicago Defender Sends a Man to Little Rock, it was the Pullman Porters who whispered to the traveling men, both the blues men and the race men, so that they would both know what was going on. This is for the Pullman Porters who smiled as if they were happy and laughed like they were tickled when some folk were around, and who silently rejoiced in 1954 when the Supreme Court announced its 9-0 decision that separate is inherently unequal. This is for the Pullman Porters who smiled and welcomed a 14-year-old boy onto their train in 1955. They noticed his slight limp that he tried to disguise with a doo-wop walk. They noticed his stutter and probably understood why his mother wanted him out of Chicago during the summer when school was out. 14-year-old black boys with limps and stutters are apt to try to prove themselves in dangerous ways when mothers aren't around to look after them. So this is for the Pullman Porters who looked over that 14-year-old while the train rolled the reverse of the Blues Highway from Chicago to St. Louis to Memphis to Mississippi. This is for the men who kept him safe. And if Emmett Till had been able to stay on that train all summer, he would have maybe grown a bit of a paunch, certainly lost his hair, probably have worn bifocals and bounced his grandchildren on his knee, telling them about his summer riding the rails. But he had to get off that train and ended up in Money, Mississippi. and was horribly, brutally, inexcusably, and unacceptably murdered. This is for the Pullman porters who, when the sheriff was trying to get that body secretly buried, got Emmett's body on the northbound train, got his body home to Chicago, where his mother said, "I want the world to see what they did to my boy." And this is for all the mothers who cried. And this is for all the people who said, "Never again." And this is about Rosa Parks, whose feet were not so tired. It had been, after all, an ordinary day, until the bus driver gave her the opportunity to make history. This is about Mrs. Rosa Parks from Tuskegee, Alabama, who was also the field secretary of the NAACP. This is about the moment Rosa Parks shouldered her cross, put her worldly goods aside, and was willing to sacrifice her life so that that young man in Money, Mississippi, who had been so well protected by the Pullman porters, would not have died in vain. When Mrs. Parks said no, a passionate movement was begun. No longer would there be a reliance on the law. There was a higher law. When Mrs. Parks brought that light of hers to expose the evil of the system, the sun came and rested on her shoulders, bringing the heat and light of truth. Others would follow Mrs. Parks. Poor young men in Greensboro, North Carolina, would also say no. Great voices would be raised, singing the praises of God and exhorting us to forgive those who trespass against us. But it was the Pullman porters who safely got Emmett to his granduncle, and it was Mrs. Rosa Parks who could not stand that death. And in not being able to stand it, she sat back down.
Ladies and gentlemen, I'd like to thank you for joining us this evening. We are now about to enter into our engagement in our way of acknowledging our higher self. We are going into our talking care room. And that is where we work in the spirit. We defeat all enemies, and we deliver all prayers and leave them at the altar. This is a time you can participate by acknowledging your loved ones who made the transition, by also acknowledging those who you feel can never die. They only continue in the circle of life. I ask you to raise them up today by calling their name and remembering our loved ones are still yet in the atmosphere. We embrace them by calling their name. Go with me as I go over to do the libation and call their name. Ladies and gentlemen, please stand to your feet for our talking cue. I light the candle for my mother's spirit, and I say, Ashe. And lighting the candle, mother, I say this candle will guide you home. May you please enter into the home and reunite yourself. I light the candle for my mother's spirit. I light the candle for my father's spirit. I say, Father, may this candle guide you all the way through the tunnels and through the Mississippi River and over the river and through the journey that you have to climb. I light the candle for my father. I pour a glass of water for my father to quench his thirst, and I say, Ashe. I pour a glass of water for my mother, and I say, Mother, drink well and quench your thirst. I pour libation to the east, and I say, Ashe. I pour libation to the west, and we all say, Ashe. I pour libation to the north, and I say, Ashe. I pour libation to the south, and I say, Ashe. Ladies and gentlemen, don't forget to wash your hands and face so you do not enter into worship with a stale face. Remember that it's very important. I'm going to wash my face so that I do not greet my ancestors with stale face. Ladies and gentlemen, do this in remembrance of our tradition and in remembrance of our heritage. Remember, it is the thing that keeps us strong to remember our rituals and our ancestors. They have not left us, ladies and gentlemen. They cannot leave us. They only have dissipated in the atmosphere, but we know energy is a frequency. and it stays with us. And ladies and gentlemen, we are teaching you to vibrate on a level so that when you need authority and power, you can go into the Spirit and call the Spirit to bring all things to remembrance. And remember, ladies and gentlemen, this prayer is being said for the family. Father God, I thank you for all the families that are represented here today. My prayer is that you will guide them into all understanding. My prayer is that you will use every family represented here and you will bless their households down to the 1,000th generation. My prayer is that those who curse you, Father, you shall curse them down to the 1,000th generation. And Lord, I pray that we will find a solution in our economic strategies through working with committees like Obama has created in our community. Working with this African-American administrator, Father, give us the strength to be patient with him. Show us how to find our place in assisting him. Let us remember, whatsoever things are lovely, whatsoever things be of a good report, we think on those things about our lovely president and his lovely wife. Father God, we are fortunate. We are so fortunate to have someone with like mind to come forward and to lead this country. Now let us be patient, Father, and let us not be weary in well-doing. And we ask you to give our president guidance and direction for the future. Give him a vision for the future, Father, and keep your loving arms encamped around him. And we say, to God be the glory. We thank you so much for that opportunity to pray for our president. And we are to pray, ladies and gentlemen, and not faint. We are to pray and not criticize. We are to undergird and hold up our authorities. It is our rightful place to acknowledge our authorities and be mindful of the fact that leadership deserves respect, irregardless of how we feel personally about someone. And ladies and gentlemen, we want to thank you to remind you to keep praying for our president. He isn't perfect. He has a few things that he is trying to get through with the help of the legislature and the House of Representatives. In due time, things will change. We will see a change, maybe not overnight, but eventually we will see a change, and we must keep pressing on because the prize comes at the end, and we have pressed on, and we want to stay to see what the end is going to be. So let's keep pressing on and encouraging Obama with all of his programs and campaigns. And if there's ever anything you can do to join the committee and be a part of helping him to extenuate his plan, take up the banner like Mrs. Jones is doing, and run with the banner, because we know at the end there is a prize. So I say it's important to realize when your name is called and you've been called to do something, will you be ready? That's my question. Thank you, ladies and gentlemen. We like to greet our guests, and we're going to get right into our topic. We are talking about the subject of attorney at law, judges as leaders and catalysts. Now, we know that sometimes we can have a judge in a position. He's not perfect, just like our president isn't. We have to undergird him in prayer or her in prayer as well. Can they be a catalyst or can they be a leader? What is a real leader? And how do you define the term leadership? And what is someone that is given the position of leadership? Now, we have Mrs. Jones here who actually has been given the title of team leader. And we're going to ask her to help us define that and bring some discussion in. And we're going to stir up the gifts today. And we want you to light up those phone lines at 646-478-0270. I'm going to ask Ms. Jones to first give you an introduction about this committee that she's been asked to head up for the president and what her responsibility is and her objectives and goals for year 2011. Now I give you Mrs. Lauren Jones. Mrs. Jones, you're in the atmosphere.
Great, great. Thank you so much for that wonderful introduction, Sherelle. Yes, I am Lauren Jones, and I am a summer organizer with Organizing for America. I first got involved with the organization just really recently, within the last 6 months or so. And I just feel really passionate about working on behalf of President Obama, making sure that he gets reelected. In simpler terms, I'm a volunteer leader in Northwest Indiana, and I set up all kinds of events across the county where people can come and learn more about Organizing for America and even get a refresher course or just learn more about President Obama's vision for the future, because 2012 is a very important election, and I think it's extremely, extremely pertinent that people get involved now and make sure that...
Mrs. Jones, before we go any further, for the listening audience, can you very quickly define what the vision is for 2011 so we can all be on one accord?
Definitely, definitely. It's all about what's at stake. I mean, we want to protect our progress as a country. In the last first 2.5 years, he's been able to get through Affordable Health Care Act, American Recovery and Reinvestment, a lot of acts, State Children's Health Insurance Program, the Lilly Ledbetter Fair Pay Act, all of these things that are so beneficial to the citizens of the United States, we need to make sure those do not go away in 2012 and the years that follow. So it's all about what's at stake. You really need to, as an audience, you really need to just think about what's going on and what could happen. You don't want to go backward. You don't ever want to go backward. You always want to keep moving forward. So,
well, Mrs. Jones, how can someone get involved who is basically a teen or someone that is a young adult and they want to be involved and they want to head up committees? How can they get involved and what are some of the committees that they can head up?
Definitely. Any way you get involved, it starts really simple. You can always call me, and I can leave my information with you, Sherelle. But you can also go online. You can go to mybarackobama.com and just check out local events near you. They always have things based on your area code, and you can find out who your neighborhood team leaders are. You can also go to change.com. A lot of online outlets that you can check out. You can, you can go to the DNC website. They also have things broken down by state. There's a lot of different ways you can get involved, or you can just do something really local, you know, for your own personal benefit. Start with your church, your local church, or your local grocery store, whatever it is in your neighborhood. Just if you have the desire to give back, then you should do that.
Now, Mrs. Jones, you know we're going to stir it up for the youth, and we're going to hype it up because youth have always brought the heat and the energy. And I know you being a young lady and not indicating to the young people that it was you being a young lady that probably attracted Obama or the committee to bring you out front, because they're trying to appease young people. Let's just focus in on what the real issue is. Young people, I want you to pick up those phone lines and start calling in at 646-478-0270. Because if you don't have employment, you can volunteer until you create yourself a position. And a long time ago, our families told us to volunteer, be a part of the political arena, and that we would get a job. And we did eventually get a job when the headquarters was here for Hatcher. And that's how we got involved. We started doing political things and lobbying, and we learned lobbying procedures. And then we also found out you could become employable as a contracted lobbyer. So I want Mrs. Jones to talk about the youth. How can Obama use the youth? And he is very, very excited about the youth. And I know the youth supported him quite a bit this year, last year when he was elected. Can you tell me, Mrs. Jones, what are some of the things that he's doing with the hip-hoppers and the youth out there currently now?
Oh, definitely. There's always a big push for young Americans to get out and do more, because the things that are getting set in place now affect us
more than they do any other generation or demographic. So as far as, like, mainstream media, the president is really a driving force. Like, he's really progressive as far as how he tackles that media. And he, you have to go where the people are, is what we say as summer organizers, because all these young people and on Twitter, Facebook, MySpace, whatever their personal medium is, he's there, you know, and they're so good about, I should say, we're all so good about just keeping information out there so that you're always in the know. You know, there's a local voter registration drive at, you know, such and such address on Ridge Road. Come join us. You know, we're really good about letting you know what's going on in your area. And young people love that because we have so many things that that take our attention. You have to be creative in grabbing it. So that's one way that he is really amazing about using, and that's the media. So because everyone
Ladies
has pretty much access to it.
Jones, we're going to take a station identification, and we're going to be right back at you in the atmosphere. I want you to light those phone lines up and also come with your questions, because we're going to be having Mrs. Jones involved in looking at the attorney at law as well. Judges as a leader or catalyst. How do we perceive our judges? No one seemed to be able to judge them, and we just keep voting them in every year, and we never ask the question, who does the judge serve, and how do we elect the judge, and under what criteria? Stay tuned, ladies and gentlemen. I'm going to go to you. Help me write this song. Stay tuned. We'll be back at you. Ladies and gentlemen, we're back, and we're in the Care to Read room, ladies and gentlemen. And you know what that means. You ought to be reading literature and expounding up on literary narratives such as Nikki Giovanni, like I've been playing for you, and over again giving you all the best that we got in the form of literacy. Are you making your home literacy enriched? If you aren't, you ought to be, because there's enough material out there for you to be able to bring home literature every day. Now, remember, we're starting from birth all the way up to adulthood. We've been talking about elders. We've been talking about literacy with adults. And now we're talking about your baby can read. That's right. Go on out to my website. I got a little something-something out there for you mothers, teaching you that you can start early and helping your babies to learn to read. because they can learn to read. I want you to know that. And we're talking about those little ones that are picking their nose and blowing their nose on you and wetting on you. Yes, they can learn to read. And as I told you yesterday in the Ypsilanti study, they have discovered that when mothers enroll their preschoolers in school, it is more likely that those children will stay in school and be a recipient of a diploma and graduate. So keep those preschoolers in school. Mother, we're talking about keeping your parental right. We're talking about you being mothers. And Mrs. Garth, Mrs. Olmey's going to help you. If you want to learn how to parent, we have something for you. There is a one-year certificate, non-traditional, called the CDA. You can do this independently while you're taking care of babies at home and get your credentials and become certified and obtain a degree later on if you want to go all the way for your bachelor's. And check this out, mothers, there is financial aid available. In most of the states, it's fully paid for because it's a shortage in the field of early childhood. We focus in on early childhood this month. So this whole month you hear us talking about helping those babies from the bench. That's right, we're going to be their advocates and their surrogate advocates, and we're going to speak out to the judge and letting the judge know what it is that baby needs. Now, you know we did what it was that Omi needs, so you know I was going to come back with what it is that baby needs, and baby can't wait. So we've got to give baby what baby wants. So we're going to be talking about that in a minute, and I'm going to ask Mrs. Jones to join in that discussion with us. We do our attorney at law at this time. And Mrs. Jones, we are not attorneys in this room. However, I am a paralegal, and because I'm a paralegal, I talk about advocacy, things that address the family. And today I'd like to talk about what happens when you have a judge that is determined to be perturbed and difficult, and you can't seem to please the judge, nothing you do, and you feel like the judge is against you. Is he a catalyst, or is she a catalyst, or is she assisting and aiding you? Remember, you can appeal to the judge by writing a letter to the judge, and you can also ask for a different venue if you think the judge is not being sensitive to your need. Remember, the judge has a ton of work. Sometimes they come in with their own personal problems, and that they shouldn't do. Now, right about now, we're going to talk about, is your judge being a catalyst, or is he being a leader and giving you good examples of how you can rearrange things and turn them around in your life? Sometimes the problems that you got yourself into were really your own fault, and you knew you need to make a change. And those judges are there just pressing a point, just forcing you over the threshold to make a change. Let's go to the phone line. I'm going to ask Mrs. Jones if she can help us in this conversation. If she were to be selected like she is today and being a dedicated volunteer and helping in the court system, what do you recommend that we need to make a change with our judges, Mrs. Jones? You're back in the atmosphere.
Yes, I am back. I'm so sorry. I got a little bit disconnected there. As far as recommending a change and just, you know, being a volunteer, I'm sorry, say the question for me one more time.
If you've been in constant contact with a judge and you keep having to meet with the judge and mm-hmm. the judge is asking you for something that you think is a little bit excessive and outside of the requirement, but yet you don't have anybody to appeal to, and the judge keeps giving you a continuance and calling you back, is that judge being a catalyst, or is that judge being a leader to help you? And who can you appeal to, and how can you appeal to the judge, first of all?
Oh, I see. Well, I think it depends on the situation of the person, you know. It could be a situation where the judge is trying to just make you live up, you know, bring you up so you can live up to the challenge so that you can do better for yourself. Or it could be a situation where you could feel like he is attacking you in some way. And in that way, I would definitely seek out alternative help, whether that be maybe you could suggest another judge, maybe can you appeal to a different lawyer, or your options. I would never say you don't have options. There's always another way to do something or go about it. I would probably start there, but it definitely depends on the person and the type of situation. You know, maybe they're asking you these requests because they feel you can do better, or maybe they're asking you so they can show you something. I don't necessarily always believe that it could be an instance where, you know, this guy is just picking on me or something like that.
Now, Mrs. Jones, we selected you to be one of our candidates to assist us so that we can start helping the judge, because we know the judge is backlogged, and we know that the judge needs a lot of assistance. His expertise is not in family child development, and he doesn't have the latest on what infants with disabilities need. Now, we've selected you, and we're asking you to be a part of a support team. Now, if you're on a team, what input would you give that team as to what it is you think children have to have, like things that air to breathe, food every day, but a need to be needed? And also, think on those lines of the Maslow's 15 hierarchy needs. Think of some of those needs that we don't anticipate. Emotional, the child is crying all the time, and you're wondering, what is the matter? Now, we have to put ourselves in a position to understand age appropriate. What is going on? The child is having some problem because he needs an attachment. And how do you express that to the judge that you have to write in the order the child needs plenty of time for attachment? And maybe the father and mother are divorced. Maybe the child was really attached to the father. Then do you think the judge should write an order making sure that the father is in this baby's life so that the father has access to visitation rights? Let's get into the conversation. Help me out here, Mrs. Jones.
Sure. To answer your first question, what does the child need? You know, basic commodities like air to breathe, food in their belly, and things like that. They also need things that you can't, that aren't edible, like encouragement. They need praise. They need very, you know, like positive atmospheres and environments. You know, there are things that you individually as a parent can only give that child, being that it's yours. There are only things that you understand because it is your child. To answer the second part of your question, definitely the father and the mother need to be heavily involved with making sure that their offspring grows up to be everything that they ever hoped for and even more. And to do that, you have to lay the foundation for that. There has to be room for growth and room for error, because you know, I'm sure no one has it right on parenting. You just have to do it in a way that expresses the most love to your child, so you can get that in return and see the child.
Let me ask you a question. What has happened in the past with the visitation rights of the fathers? I mean, in your own recollection, what have you seen happening? Is the court system kind of biased to the male, and they just assume that the father doesn't want to have any attachment to the child, so they don't, sometimes they're not fair about giving him enough visitation hours for that infant or toddlers, or he makes it awfully difficult so that he can't, you know, schedule the time to visit that infant? How can the judge alleviate that and be more sensitive to our brothers who are incarcerated? How can he be more sensitive to make it possible for a man exiting prison to go and visit his child? What can he do to make it more feasible?
Well, the deck is definitely stacked against men when it comes to visitation rights.
Can you talk a little louder for me, Ms. Jones?
I think you have a good
opinion. Come on.
I'm sorry. Is my phone not loud? Okay. Well,
okay,
the deck is definitely
okay.
The deck is definitely stacked against men when it comes to visitation rights and custody of children. You know, I think that going again to this particular situation, if you can show genuine proof that you are providing and you are taking care of your child's needs and you're putting them in an environment where they can flourish, then I don't think, I don't see a reason why any judge would have something against that. There's nothing to dispute it. So as far as gentlemen with that air issue, definitely just make sure all your ducks are in a row. Save receipts, you know. It's been my experience just by having a friend who's the mother of the child was difficult as far as visitation and all of that. I just constantly mentored him with, you know, save those receipts or, you know, log that time you saw or phone calls. Do everything in your power that you can so that when you go to court that day, you can show proof. This is what I've done. This is what I've been doing. Then there's nothing to dispute that. So I think you should just always prepare yourself.
And I think so, too, Lauren. I really do. I think that it's so very necessary that the courts be more sensitive to men that are exiting prison and make it a little bit more feasible for visitation, such as making sure that that mother lives in an area that is relatively close to the father so that he can make those frequent visits. A lot of times, just the visits alone will help those children who have had some abusive backgrounds and who are going through trauma and who may also be going through grieving. And children will fail to thrive. They'll stop eating, they'll stop cooing, and they'll stop having an interest. And just the presence of that father's visitation could make all the difference in the world. So there are many court systems being very, very wise about the facts that they have to have special courtrooms just for babies now. It is so many babies that are being diagnosed with maltreatment, and you can physically abuse a child without putting your hands on the child. You can neglect the child, and that's a form of abuse also. And African Americans, sometimes we have to be mindful of the fact that our lives can be cumbersome and overwhelming, but baby can't wait. Remember that. We have to put the baby in the circle and make the baby the specific interest of the family. So in doing that, we have to be very mindful. If we neglect the child can truly go into trauma and develop some forms of grieving. And that could cause a child to not to be at full birth rate and develop properly. And these fathers, they're not all bad. Some of them want to have connection to their babies, and some of them have taken over and taken full custody. Now you must remember that in the state of Indiana, there is a law that even if you are common law and not married, if you want to have visitation, you must go through a co-parenting facilitator's course, meaning you have to go back to school to learn how to parent separately, not necessarily learning how to parent in general. But the courts want you to prove to them that you have a plan for that child, and you've worked that child in your schedule, and you plan to see him on XYZ days and do such and such with that child. They don't just want you grabbing Johnny and say, come on here, Johnny, I got to find something for you to do. You go sit on over there in that corner until I think of something. No, you're not to be wasting that baby's time sitting in corners. You must have structured activities for those children when you take them in custody and you utilize your visitation right. African Americans, we've got to get it together. We have far too many of our children that are locked in to the foster care system. Granted, there are situations where mothers expire and fathers die, and where fathers and mothers are placed in prison and children are taken away. But there is no excuse for us putting our hands on children and beating them to the point that we are brought up on charges for abuse. Now, our team has been designed to be the overseer, to watch over the court system, to make sure that they don't cause this child any further grief while they're going through the judicial system. Our team is to also make recommendations to the judge as to what we think infants and toddlers need. They are unique. They are not just like your youngsters. They are unique in the fact that they have a lot of emotional needs, and you have got to be a specialist to know what those emotional needs are. You just can't assume you can give a kid a bag of candy and everything will be all right. children need to be felt love. They need to feel love at all time and protect it. And they don't need to feel fear all the time. And if you're screaming and yelling at your man and you're cursing all the time, you can bring about trauma in a child without even knowing it. So there's a lot of abuses that are going on that are unnecessary. And we've got to get it together. We've got to make baby first. And then we've got to get on somebody's team and rally around mothers helping each other to be better mothers. See, if we were in the environment of our African setting, we would be in a camp setting where we could role model for those other mothers who were inferior and teach them how to better prepare to become mothers. It would be a natural thing. But because we've come so far away from our tradition, we have forgotten our first love and how to practice doing what we know, having mother with. I want those mothers out there to call in who think they got what it takes to have mother with and think that they have some input that they can offer us to give the court system. Now's the time to speak out. We want you to speak out, mothers, and call in and say, I've been a good mother, but I've just gotten a bad, bad rep in the court system, and my children are taken away. I don't know what to do because I don't know when I'm going to get my parental rights back. Call in at 646-478-0270. And we're talking about those surrogate advocates who also volunteer and fill in for those mothers who can't be there. Remember, they have created a duplicate mother in the school system who will come in and sign papers on behalf of mothers who cannot get to those meetings. You now need to pair up with those surrogate mothers, and y'all need to work together and learning the skills of parenting together. Long time ago, it used to be many mothers in the house, and you had a mother two and a mother one. Everybody was being a mother, so that y'all had more than what they need. Now you got every woman who don't want to be a mother. Oh, girl, I'm trying to get my life together. I ain't trying to be no mother. I do not have time for children. You have to have time for children because it's our birthright. We have brought all civilization into the world, and we are the nurturers of the world, and we were designed and equipped to nurture the most smallest child in the family and to heal that child. Do you not know, mothers, we are called to heal our children, and there's too many babies that don't have that emotional attachment and that are crying out and who are wasting away in these foster homes. Now, if you're a foster care mother out there and you're doing a good job and you're helping your those kids and you're developing them, I have met some of the best foster care mothers. As a matter of fact, I didn't even know they were foster care mothers until they came to the conference. If you're a foster care mother out there and you want to call in and talk about the good things you've done in the system for the many children you've taken care of, now is your time to do that. 646-478-0270. I'm going to a commercial, and we'll be right back at you in the atmosphere, and then we're going to go to our family life education, and we have an expert here in the room, Mrs. Lauren Jones, and Mrs. Jones has been doing a fantastic job giving us input about what it is that leaders do in the community and volunteers. Because it takes a lot of commitment to volunteer and give your time. And I want to play that up because, young people, you've got to learn how to give of yourself. Once you give of yourself and become a laborer in the harvest, someone, God will create a laborer in your vineyard. So start volunteering. We have Mrs. Lauren Jones here talking about her new experience that she is going to be taking on 2011, working with the Obama team in the neighborhood of Calumet Township, right here in the area of northern Indiana. Those Gary people out there, do I have any Gary people? Call in, Gary people. If I have any Calumet people, please do light those phone lines up. We have Mrs. Lauren Jones in the audience, and she is doing an excellent job speaking. And I'm also going to call Miraville, Indiana. If you're out there, please do call in, 646-478-0270. We're going to go to a commercial right now, and we're winners. Y'all ready?
Yep.
Y'all ready? Say yes!
Welcome back, family, and thanks for joining us in the Care to Read room. We have Mrs. Lauren Jones in the room today, and Mrs. Lauren Jones come to us with a wealth of experience, ladies and gentlemen. Mrs. Jones is a volunteer for Obama's committee, where she's working with America to organize. She's an American organizer who develops people into working with their communities and their neighborhoods. We consider her as an expert in her skills and developing her skills to become an organizer, and that is why I have got behind her as an elder to enforce what she's doing, to help her understand that this is where we start at a young age, to offer our service. And what a grand opportunity to volunteer for your president. And if you haven't thought about where you fit in at to volunteer, you ought to be thinking about it. Now, I'm going to ask the question, where are those attorneys that have special skill out there and know what the very young child needs? I've been soliciting for you, and I've been collecting your names and calling attorneys and putting my list together of all those family law attorneys. And we're asking you to call in here at the Care to Read room at 646-478-0270. And we're asking you to take advantage of some of the airtime I have to talk about your profession in family law. And you are given free airtime on this show because we're trying to give you pro bono time to talk about what it is you do in exchange for you giving some information to the families who have no representation. Black people have gone to college, and their degrees were for their community, and they came back offering themselves and exhausting themselves from volunteering. I know this because many years ago, we used to volunteer our time as paralegals and do as many letters as we have to do. I still volunteer my time. Now, I'm not too busy to come on this radio show and volunteer my time to give the paralegal services in special ed. And I am cautioning you attorneys who have all of the free time and have the skills that you can give a mother by going to court with her one day, by answering her questions, by helping her to write her plan for the court system under co-parenting. Now, I'm going to ask another question. Where in the world can I find dedicated local staff who are working in their profession in child development? Where are they? I'm not just talking about somebody that just got a one-year certificate. I'm talking about those bona fide bachelor degree early childhood people. Where are they? And where are they when they are needed to be on panels like the team, the male treatment team like this? We're asking them to come in this room and to position themselves with us as we talk about what it is that the judge needs to know about infants who have been maltreated and who have been abused, and we need to help the judge to help that child cycle through the system without being brutalized again while waiting, because we know baby cannot wait. Baby needs the best of care, and judges need to be sensitized to know what it is they need. And lawyers, make sure you are family lawyers who take these cases, because it takes someone who has a firm foundation of understanding the developmental stages and ages of infants and toddlers. And if you're out there, I want you to volunteer just like Mrs. Lauren E. Jones did. She volunteered to come in and tell her story and to talk about how she can develop community leadership. And let me tell you something else that's unique about Mrs. Lauren. Mrs. Lauren believes in family and extended family. I'm going to bring her back on to talk about her experience as an extended family and being in her mother's home and living there as an extended lifestyle. More than not, young people are having to go back home and stay with their mothers, and they're finding that it is a valuable tool for saving money and for getting the input of an elder. And it offers so many other opportunities as well. I have a son that stayed after he went to college and came back, and I know it's been beneficial for him. You can help them in saving their money and putting money aside. And I'm going to have Lauren come in and talk about the benefits of going back home after college and how you can advance yourself. And don't let anybody push you out there too soon and say you need to leave home. And don't let anybody knock it, because it's not all bad being at home. There's some positive thing. And Mrs. Lauren Jones, I'm going to ask you to please recite for the listening audience, what are the benefits of being at home after leaving and coming back?
Definitely. Well, one benefit that everyone should be happy about is a hot meal every single night.
Come on now.
Mom pretty much hooks it up. You don't have to worry about it. I work during the day. I work during the day. I come home. Pretty much, you know, it's ready. I don't have to really worry about it. But, you know, that's something I'm definitely going to miss once I am. Secure and on my own. Yeah, there are actually a lot of benefits to coming home, like you all mentioned before. You definitely, saving money is primary, number one, above everything, above the food, saving money. And that allows you to buy time, actually, because then you get to really think about how you want to make your moves and what you want to do next, you know, how you want to expand yourself in your career. You have the ability to do that from home, you know, versus worrying about paying rent and other utilities and bills if you were on your own at a young age, you know.
Mrs. Jones, because we just finished up dealing with financial literacy and trying to get as many people literate as possible through the Junior Achievement, I am going to present to you a Junior Achievement package while you're at home and have plenty of time to work yourself a budget. And also you can create those havens where you go and buy all your furniture and you put it in storage and you buy a piece at a time. And then not only do you buy your furniture and put it away, you also go and put away, you make an investment in some stocks and some bonds and start some investments. So you do aggressive type of investment so that your money will return back to you. And within this package, Junior Achievement have done a great job in showing you how to work a real budget. African Americans are so afraid of talking about being on the budget. It's like they think you're taking their rights away and put them back in slavery. I was going to be on the budget. I don't want to be on no budget. I can't buy nothing. You have to
a budget is your friend. A budget is your best friend.
It's just like it's your best friend. So when you get ready to buy something, you get your coupons. You don't buy everything until it goes on sale. And then after you get to the point where you have saved some money, then you can ease up off that budget. You don't have to go on with so many coupons. But everyone that is African American should start the thrust. Our home is going to be on a budget. As for me and my house, we're going to serve the Lord and be on a budget, okay? Because when you get ready to go on those trips, the first thing you do is you ask the banker, is there any money? He will say, well, no, but if he cut corners and save some money, it should be some money in there for us to go to a movie. Now, what's going on? Where is the discount? So I'm being facetious, but I'm saying, parents and Mrs. Jones, I want you to have that package. I'm going to email that to you. You might find it to be something really advantageous. I found Junior Achievement to be the best. The materials are right on time, and they're free, ladies and gentlemen. You can download them. And there's nothing wrong with telling your family we're going to be on a budget. Once you do that thing a couple of months later on, when you come back, you'll say, oh, my God, look at all the money I saved. And at the same time, I found out that now I don't have to be on a budget no more. But you always stay on that budget, and you put in your mind that I'm going to save this extra money because I want to take a trip. Now, leisure is something that only really, really will go around the block with you on. I believe in leisure because I've seen too many people die on their feet and they've never been around the corner and back. I believe in travel. I believe in good times and sharing moments with the people you love. So you got to get up out of that couch potato setting and travel. So a budget will come in handy. So, Mrs. Jones, I definitely want to acquaint you to Junior Achievement. So that you can take that and use it in your house. Now, Mrs. Jones, tell me some other thing. Now, you're at home with your mother. Sometimes extended family members can be beneficial in your life. Tell me what blessing they have been for you in your life, whereas you wouldn't have had that exposure had you moved away.
To clarify, I do stay with both of my parents. I'm very blessed in that respect. And they are there for me whenever I need them. You know, I don't want to make it sound like, you know, living at home, you're gonna revert back to that childhood mindset where they tell you to be in by a certain time and all that. No, it's not like that. I'm old enough now to make my own decisions, and they respect that. And living at home is something that they allow me to do. So, yes, as far as blessings, you know, I get constant advice on a regular basis. How should I handle this issue I have at work, or how should I go about maintaining this expense? Or, you know, they advise me on my finances, my personal life, my spiritual life, everything that I might need.
Excuse me for a minute. Those phone lines need to be lighting up right about now. Every young person that is contemplating going back home, go ahead on home. Mom and Dad been waiting for you to come back to give you that orientation in Junior Achievement 101 anyway. Go ahead back home. The phone line's at 317. Somebody is getting ready to go back home. You're in the atmosphere. Hello, how are you? Caller 317, you're in the atmosphere. Hello. Go ahead, speak it out. We're giving you the opportunity to speak out. We'd like for you to talk this evening. We're friendly people in here. How you doing? Caller 317. Okay, we'll come back at 317. Would you like for us to come back to you? Okay. Caller 317 got a little shy, but we want you to light up those phone lines because I am serious than a heartbeat. It is an advantage in going back home. I know this because my oldest son has come back home, and he has praised me and said, Mother, I thank you for making sure that I completed those tasks and to get my degree and have that in place and to start saving for all my furniture. And now we're planning for something special when he gets married. I'm going to pay for the wedding and give him an opportunity to save his money and help him and his fiance. It's very important that we understand our young people need a head up. And the problem that's going on in the community, we have too many young people that are disconnected and they didn't transition out of high school properly. They went right into a job. They had no money. Went into bills with credit cards, and they ended up owing so much money, you know, in all these bills that they could have did it a different way. And most Caucasian people, they transition their children differently. Yes, they give them a silver spoon and some filthy lucre, and they set them up pretty good when they leave. All mother can give you in the African-American race, all mother can give you is advice. But mothers, we got to do better than that. We've got to be able to set up nest eggs for our children when they transition out to start them off right. And I'm not saying pay for everything they got. I'm saying help them to be better judges of how to manage that filthy lucre and don't come running to the rescue every time they broke. Oh, you broke? Let me give you a little something. And they can't stand to be broke. So now you got a kid that got to always have money in their pocket. That is a mess. Don't get involved in that because you'll create a character that you don't even want to take care of. There's too many mothers that are loving their sons and raising their daughters. Now, our topic next and going right into Always Sisters, Always Friends is going to be on loving your sons and raising your daughters. And we've been talking about that all month long. And I want to say this to the listening audience. We've got to understand, how can we train our sons and love our daughters? Come on here, Miss Seeley.
Oh, I hope you think that you're something too. The sun going down. Oh, but trust me, no lowlife's gonna run me around. So let me tell you something, sister. Remember your name, no twister. Gonna steal your stuff away, my sister. We sure ain't got a whole lot of time. So take your shimmy, sister, 'cause honey, this jug is feeling fine.
Welcome to Always Sisters, Always Friends, and Omi is feeling fine this evening, ladies and gentlemen. Now, we initially had on our schedule three family drug treatment courts, and we are going to have Judge Douglas along with Mrs. Christine, and they're going to be coming next week. So we've taken them off the schedule and moved them back. This was just some error here where we didn't take that off the schedule. So we're going to move them out, and we have our guest in the audience, Mrs. Lauren Jones, and we're talking about, once again, why are parents loving their sons and raising their daughters? And what can we do about it, sisters? How can we change things when we start raising our young boys and making sure that they do a good job of developing fundamental skills and we just don't love them into perfection? How can we do a better job? I'm going to bring my guest on to talk about loving the son and how is it that the son gets out of doing the work and the sister in the home gets all the work to do, and she never gets finished, and the boy is out running around having a good time while she's constantly slaving doing his work. Well, does mother have to remember that you cannot just raise your daughter and love your son, because he will be inadequate and a mess and a problem for his wife to be. So let's bring my guest on, Lauren Jones, and get her involved in the topic of discussion. Mrs. Jones, can you help us out here in this discussion? You've seen where mother will always tell the daughter, I want you to do these things, and she has a laundry list. First wash the clothes, then go and clean the kitchen, vacuum the floor, and a whole list of things, and sometimes she even leaves that list for the daughter. But then the son gets away on Saturday with sleeping in, not taking his trash out, and hanging out with the boys till late at night. And mother doesn't do anything but kiss him when he comes home and say, I'm glad you're home, son. And the daughter constantly gets all of the work to do. So why are mothers loving their sons and raising their daughters? Mrs. Jones, can you help us out?
Sure, I'll be glad to try. I'm not exactly sure of the answer as to why mothers are loving their sons and raising their daughters. I can say that I'm sure it's not that situation for every family out there. Let me say that first. But for the ones that this does apply to, you know, flat out, I just think that they revere the man to such a high degree that they feel that he may not have to do anything. He may not have to do any real work because he's already born a man. And, you know, just, you know, so many expectations are just already placed on him based on that fact. And therefore, that
good point,
the weight of responsibility just falls. It just, you know, they just shift it to the daughter where they feel that, you know, in order to get a guy or I don't know what their line of thought is with that, but, you know, maybe they just feel that you have to work harder. that's really what I have for that.
And you know something, Mrs. Jones, you had a good point. You had a good point because mothers are so glad just to have a male They figure you've done your job just by getting here, and I am just mesmerized with you being here. So at that point, they said, well, just stay a male and stay out of trouble, and you'll be okay. But then they're trying to sell that girl off and get her married off, so they're doing everything to stiff her up so she can look like she's presentable and acceptable so they can hurry up and marry her off. That is an excellent point. I didn't see it that way. You know, I was sitting here thinking, well, the mother just thought it'll be easier to kiss her son because, you know, he looks so handsome, and boy, wouldn't he look nice in those new $150 gym shoes. Now, I'm going to say to the listening audience, we've been on this topic for quite a while. I want those phone lines to light up. If you're loving your son and not raising him and putting all the attention into raising your daughter, and she can clean house better than you can, cook better than you, handle the children, and she is now training her brother and teaching him because you're afraid to approach your son to ask him to do anything in the house. She's stepping up and saying, you're going to wash these dishes, and you will take that trash out, and I do want that grass mowed. And when I get back here, you better have them chickens fed, and you better have all of them chickens slaughtered. See, in the South, women grow up and become women faster. And they know what the order of the day is. So they pick those skills up real fast. So, mother, isn't it so much easier to train your daughters because they're such in compliance? But most of our boys are in noncompliance. We got to stop it, mother. We got to get them while they're young and stop them from being noncompliant. Stay tuned. I'm going to station identification. A Negro is going to speak about it.
I've known rivers. I've known rivers ancient as the world and older than the flow of human blood in human veins. My soul has grown deep like the rivers. I bathed in the Euphrates when dawns were young. I built my hut near the Congo, and it lulled me to sleep. I looked upon the Nile and raised the pyramids above it. I heard the singing of the Mississippi when Abe Lincoln went down to New Orleans. And I've seen its muddy bosom turn all golden in the sunset. I've known rivers, ancient, dusky rivers. My soul has grown deep like the rivers.
Thank you so much, ladies. Somebody in the audience ought to recognize some of this poetry. These are the poems that I use with my sixth graders, and I've employed them to learn good poetry and to hide it in their hearts. And once you've heard it enough, you'll say, my God, I didn't know who that was. And A Negro Speaks was always my special poem, and I want you to get involved in poetry. And I'm going to play one more for you with Malcolm X for the men out there.
Malcolm X. For Dudley Randall. Original. Ragged round. Rich robust. He had the hawk man's eyes. We gasped. We saw the maleness raking out and making guttural the air and pushing us to walls. And in a soft and fundamental hour, a sorcery devout and vertical beguiled the world. He opened us, who was a key, who was a man.
Ladies and gentlemen, I would like to remind you that we're in the Always Sisters, Always Friends room. This is where we do our discussion on house cleaning. African Americans, we need more time to address the issues in our home. I hope that this particular show has been a family life addition in your household. I hope you're utilizing it to really come in and take note of some of the things that we can change in our lives. And please, do come in. I invite you in at 646-478-0270. We are friendly here, and we welcome you during this prime time hour. We want those phone lines to light up. We've actually changed our time so we could be closer to you. And I want you to understand This is free of charge. Most of what we're offering you in the way of family, you have to go to church and put a donation in. All you need to do is come and dial those numbers. Why don't you dial those numbers today? We're talking about always sisters, always friends. And my counterpart and co-host is not here today for me to argue with. So don't be surprised if I pick an argument with someone just to get this stress off my shoulder. So I'm used to calling her out saying, Mrs. Harvey. She's not here today, so I don't have to call her name, Mrs. Jones. Now, Mrs. Jones, let me ask you some questions. Now, you've had some opportunity to grow up with brothers and sisters. Am I right, or are you the only child?
No. I'm not an only child. I'm the oldest of two. It's just myself and my younger sister. Except we're spaced out by 18 months, so it's just us two.
Okay. Now, Mrs. Jones, tell me, how did your family feel about you taking an outside job to work with Obama? And did they think that this was a thing that you were ultimately going to do some volunteer work? Or do you think that they prepared you to be a servant? We know that in order to be a leader, you have to be a servant. And a lot of young people, they go out with the wrong idea that they're going to be served. What preparation do you think your parents gave you for this job working with Obama in the American organization team? What preparation do you remember that was laid down for you when your mother was raising you and loving, well, you didn't have a brother, but when your mother was raising you, what are some of the preparation that you think your mother gave you to help prepare you to become a team leader for Obama?
Giving back is like a theme in our household. We just, it's something we all love doing every year, every Christmas. My father is actually in a fraternity. He's a member of Kappa Alpha Psi Incorporated. And anybody who knows about fraternities and sororities knows that community service and giving back is one of their platforms. So it's pretty much just how I was brought up. I've always loved giving back and volunteering here, there, Salvation Army or Goodwill, wherever it has been. So it was just kind of natural for me to come across this opportunity, and I thank God for it, that I've been able to do it and actually get some accolades from it. So it's just how I grew up. As a family, we give back, and it's what we do.
And you know, I like that, Lauren. I really do. And I too, Lauren, came from a family where we were always told there's always something to do. You can go volunteer. And we started out in a political arena where we volunteer for Hatchet every year. And we even brought people to our home to entertain them to be actual servants. We served them a meal. My 10 mm-hmm. sisters and I, we served meal to Hatcher's committee men. And we brought elegant food to them. And they soon learned to love coming to our house to have a meal. So we felt it was our reasonable service to give something back, and then we also donated pastries and pies during the holiday. And we got involved with going places and to the nursing home to volunteer our time. We spent a lot of hours in a nursing home. I think it builds character. I think it helps you to develop yourself, and you find out that every job does not necessitate that you're paid for it, because you become enriched from volunteering your time and learning new tasks. Don't you think so?
I do agree. I definitely have to agree with that. You learn so much about yourself and how you can help others uniquely, just you. So definitely. Mm-hmm. It's a really wonderful and enriching life experience to give yourself back to the world, because it's not, you shouldn't always be taking something. You should be conscious of what you put out there as well.
Now, Mrs. Jones, what do you think is your greatest asset or attribute that you will use in your work that you're about to do for the president? What is the greatest attribute that you've gotten from your family life and development? Because this is a family life segment and talking about always sisters, always friends. Now, we're putting our jokes aside. We know that women do get the developmental trainings. They're so well trained that the majority of our university are latent with female women, and we know this. So what do you think some of the foundations were in your home that was laid for you so that you and your sister can get along and become the best of friends? And what were some of the things that they laid down and made it mandated that you would do as sisters? Can you talk about that for us?
Yes, yes, I can. It all goes back to my dad, like the earliest memory that I have, you know, because it is just me and my sister. He always told us that it was just us two, so we always have to be good to each other. You know, there are times where that's difficult, but, you know, my parents came from extremely big families. You know, he's the baby of 9 and she's the oldest of 10. So, you know, I'm sure, you know, throughout the years of them growing up, there's a lot of bickering and, you know, there's even division now, just, you know, a little insight. But because it was just me and my sister Ashley, they always made sure that we were close. And, you know, she's a year and a half younger than me, and we are extremely close. She is my best friend, and we do everything together just about. Because of that foundation and those insights, I learned how to treat people the same way that I would treat my sister, with love and respect. So those types of qualities, I guess, I have about myself are probably my strongest attributes. Another thing that my father taught me is to always look for the good in people. And that is something that it always resonated with me, you know. It's just not everybody is all bad. People live their lives so differently, and you never know how you can connect with that person until you just talk to them or listen to them or try and engage on a shared experience with them, you know. I'm sure there's a way that we are all connected if you just give it a chance.
Now, you know, Lauren, what you said was so profound. I think that most people don't understand that when you look for the good in others, they will see it in you. And when you are always trying to help develop a person's attributes instead of testing them against their deficits all the time, I find that people don't understand how young people are so cruel to one another, and they're so hard on each other. It is hard to be genuine. It's hard to be unique because they are so cruel to one another, and they have no patience for each other. And I think if I had an opportunity to teach school again, I think I would just want to work with social skills only, because I think that we've done a terrible job in helping our young people to develop good social skills and good manners. We actually laugh about the fact that we don't have manners, and we think that it's important that you go against the grain and go against what your parents have taught you. And now these colleges are doing a terrible job of talking about privacy, and they're really rearranging the thoughts of young people when they come to school, and they're turning them against their parents and telling them they're an individual. And then when they do that, they have no foundation to build upon, and then they kind of become a follower and follow whoever's going in any direction. So you find your children, when you go to see them at college, you don't know them anymore. They've left foundation that you've given them, and you've also noticed that they have abandoned family, as if this is it. I am not coming back home again. And they don't understand. You have a lifetime of cycles where you go out and you fall down, you come back, and we do fall down. You know how the song artist says, I fall down. And young people think, well, when I'm gone, that's it. You won't see me again. So I think, mothers, we got to do a better job of explaining to our young people the foundation we give you so that you can be raised, so that when you go out in public, my main phrase I tell my young boys, I say, listen, one thing you must know is that you've already been raised. So don't let anybody rearrange you and re-raise you, because you'll turn out to be something that you're not. Rely on those foundations that I've given you, and you won't go wrong. And always know that the Holy Spirit is going to give you all knowledge, and he will not let anything slip up on you, so you must stay in the Spirit. And I'm not just talking about running to church. You must spend time with God and developing your relationship with God so you can hear from him. So I want to say this to the listening audience. We have Lauren Jones in the audience, and boy, is she a treat. She is now being assigned to be the American organizer for Obama's team. And what does that mean exactly, people? That means she is responsible as a leader. She's talked a little bit about her servitude and how she's served in the community as a volunteer. She's also talked a little bit about how her family has put input in her and given her the quality skills she needs so that when she go off to do this job, she can do it with the utmost respect and do it to the glory of God. Now, I want to talk to her a little bit about relationships and what she feels about relationships and the courtship of a relationship. Should we get back into courtship, or should women just go ahead and just do the doggone thing and get married? Where are you at with that, Miss Jones? Do you think you should have a long courtship, or just go ahead and do the common law, or go ahead and get married? Where are you at with it?
Oh, wow. It depends on the day. No, I'm just kidding. No, I truly, deep in my heart, I really believe ultimately, you know, that I'll find somebody to marry. I think there should be different stages, though. So let's try and combine all three of them. I do believe in a long courtship. I do believe you should date someone and get to know them and you know, see if you even really like them. You know, a lot of people just jump into these relationships and it just doesn't work out, and they go too far too fast. So I learned that, too, the hard way. You know, I'm young and impulsive. So I'm trying to do it a little different now in the second half of my 20s. I do believe in a long courtship. And then, you know, I know it's actually against the rules, you know, and, you know, a lot of older people call it shacking up. But I don't think that there's anything wrong with living with someone as long as the ultimate goal and intent is to get married in the long run. I don't think you should.
Now you got Omi all riled up. I just gave
her. I know, I'm sorry. That's why I said I know it's against the rules. I know it's against the rules, but it's just my generation. We can let's chalk that up to generational gaps and disagreement.
Okay, generation, I want you to light those phone lights and come in here because it's on now. It's on like popcorn. Okay, Ms. Lauren. Now, I respect what you're saying, but I'm going to say that I'm from the old school, and, I mean, I grew up with 10 girls, and with it was 17 of us and 7 boys. So, literally, we've had speech after speech about what it is to come into womanhood and what it is to have virginity and to hold on to it and what it is to be a lady and be courted. So
right.
I could tell you all those speeches that I've had growing up because I've heard them 1,000 times. That's why I'm able to regurgitate them. I want to say this. I want to say that truly we were given this speech that you have stocks and bonds, and our virginity was looked at as stock and bonds, meaning that the longer you hold on to them, the higher they go up in value. So the majority of us were virgins before we got married, and that was a good thing because people came by our house and they waved and said, "That's where those virgins live at," and they would sit out there and like, how did they go this long? And don't let us wear that little lapel that had the little virgin symbol on it. We would get really ate up for that. So in a way, we would kind of praise for holding on to our virginity, and then in a way, we would kind of look at it as being old-fashioned. However, nevertheless, the lesson that I had learned from that was that it's a true story that if you're giving out something, energy of yourself, which some people reference to or do an assembly, if you're the cow and you're giving out milk and he can come back any time he wants and get the milk, then he's figuring, you know, it's real cheap to pay for this milk because if I have to buy this cow, it's too expensive because that's a long-time, lifetime situation. Now, looking at it from a biblical basis and saying that the woman must be courted, the woman must be wooed, and the woman must also keep a certain amount of respect in the fact that the Africans actually gave a dowry. The woman was so important in the home that the Africans had to buy the woman from the family. So you didn't just come courting an African woman. You came with filthy lucre, meaning money, gifts, jewelry, whatever, and you started to pay the family. because the family said, we are going to be at a loss when you take this person away from us, so you must give us a dowry. And Ms. Jones, you have to understand, I'm a marriage and family counselor. So in my profession and in my ministry, I teach this, and I have a whole program where I certainly believe a courtship is supposed to be in there, where you do that courtship and you do that for 2 years. And during that time, you can do a contract, which is the next best thing to getting a marriage certificate. It says you're legal. And it also allows you to write up all of your belongings, and you can leave them or put somebody as your beneficiary, so you can do those things. And at the same time, during that 2 years, I recommend that you do not have children, that you are now laying down a foundation for your home, for saving money. And because you don't have children, you can do all this planning, because money is not going towards the children. I'm a firm believer in that. I didn't have children for the first 5 years. I'm saying if you could do it 2 years, possibly five, but I went for 5 years without having children, and my family thought I was weird, they thought I was crazy, but I was trying to go after the patterns of what I had been taught and trained in school and wanted to see how it would work. It worked because I was able to save up my money, and we bought our first townhouse before I had my child, and we had money saved up. He had stocks and bonds. So in essence, he came here feeling like, I got a silver spoon in my mouth. I got some things and stuff. And it was easy for us to give him things and stuff because we had prepared and planned for it. It was the best thing I did in my life to do that. And I caution all other young people and say, don't start having children when you first get together. You're engaged, and engagement means you're supposed to be courted, you're supposed to be wooed, and you're supposed to be sported. That means that you're supposed to be taking places. You can't be sporting a woman if you ain't taking her nowhere. So that means you're going to spend money on her. She's all you have now, so you put the interest and time and money in her. So I believe in that biblical thing. When you take advantage of letting that woman shack with you, you rob her of the fact that she is not feeling particularly special anymore. She's not feeling royal or genteel anymore because you got her for less and you didn't have to pay anything to get her. And usually when you get something for free, you neglect it and you lose it anyway. When you put some energy there to get somebody or something, you have a tendency to hold on to it and to do right by it. So the Bible said it actually shames a woman or disgraces a woman because her head isn't covered. Marriage means your head is covered, that you're covered with a man to give you his name. Now, if you know Scripture, it is say in the Scriptures that in the end time, there are going to be seven women to one man, and they're going to be calling out to these men, man, just give me, let me bear your name. I don't even have to marry you. Just give me your name and let me be covered with your name. I need some benefits. And that's what's happening now. Women are crying out to have that man with them, and they don't have to marry them. But so you can't have the name unless you really marry them. And that's where you become dishonored. When you go and shack with a man, you lose all the benefits that that man has, and literally the name is what you want. So you go after the name and say, I want to be officially, contractually married because it gives me a name. So in the event that something should happen, I have some bearing in the situation, and I have first access to being the primary beneficiary. So you then reduce yourself from being a beneficiary to being a common law person. And common law is so brand new that they have not built up enough programs in common law. That's why I said do that common law for 2 years, and then after that say, hey, I'm ready to go into a marriage. That way you get your name on the paper and you have access to primary beneficiary, and then at that point stuff becomes important because you know that you sign that prenup, so you know where your stuff going, you can rest easy. So I'm saying to those listening audience out there, Mrs. Jones and I don't quite agree with what we're saying, but we're going to agree to disagree with the fact that not just because it's biblical, because I am not going to tell you to get hung up on biblical, because we know that that mutilated Bible has some corrections that need to be done in it. But what I'm saying, what is decent and in order is preparation. See, you go through the marriage counseling so you get preparation to go over things. Now, run that by me one more time. We're going to save our money, and you believe that we should have Christmas and we should have Kwanzaa. So you got to get all that stuff together because people be thinking they understand, like, I thought you liked Christmas. Girl, no, I'm not going to get no Christmas tree and chop down no tree. We're going to go over here and get one of these trees with the roots on it. I believe in Kwanzaa. So you haven't even talked to the man long enough to know what it is he believes, and y'all getting together, and you're supposed to come on one accord, and you get set in your ways about something, and you don't want to change. Marriage is a change, a give and take thing. If you're an easy person that say, oh, well, I can amalgamate into this person, whatever he wants, then we just let him do everything he wants. You're going to soon get sick of that. So eventually you're going to want to be able to have some say-so and a compromising and coming together. Now, a relationship, when you're living together, you're not bothered with all that. You're just there to pay the bills and keep things going. And you might even be dating a little girl on your side over here because you're not married. And you told this girl that you didn't want to get married so you could be free to date somebody else. Now you got a better relationship on the outside than you do with the lady you're living with. Pretty soon you'll be packing your things up and say, I see ya, I'm gone, I'm up out of here. Then you're going to say, well, what happened? You let him take the best part of your years. You didn't utilize the fact that you had some qualities. You didn't make him pay for those qualities. You didn't make him wait for those qualities. You didn't have any esteem for yourself, and you didn't make him have any esteem by saying, I'm valuable. You've got to pay for me, and you've got to make arrangements and preparations for me. So when you do really get to be with me, you'll see what a fine catch I am, and then you'll say, my God, that was the best investment and best piece of chicken I ever had. But anyway, call in, ladies and gentlemen. Mrs. Jones is saying that she believes in a relationship where you can have a common law. There are people out there that believe that. Call in with your comments, 646-478-0270. And we're talking about always sisters, always friends. But right about now, I'm going to get it stirred up in here. So all of you line dancers, line up, because you know we do get it on in here today. And it's right before Friday, and I'm getting ready for sabbatical. So line up, you men. We getting ready to do the Dirty Dozen. Line up. family, and you have your Omi Inca 7 live in the Care to Read room. I'm here with my guest, Lauren Jones, and she has just been intriguing the audience about her input and her verdict on marriage. I mean, I am very impressed with her intellect. I am so surprised that young people have begun to form their own opinions and they stand on it. And they also consider themselves different from the old fogies like us. It's important to have an opinion and most of all to stick with it. And I encourage that. And ladies and gentlemen, I want you to light those phone lines up at 646-478-0270. And because I won't get to whip it up on Friday, this is going to be like a Friday to us, ladies and gentlemen. Light up those phone lines and come right in. Our last segment of the show is dealing with our health awareness. And we're going to be talking about the 10 key factors about the healthy development of the infant and the toddler. Now, we've talked quite a bit about what it is babies need. Now, we're going to talk about their health and why it's so important to know what those 10 key items are. And I like to read them off to you. And, Mrs. Jones, you can just jump in there whenever you want to. Our whole topic this month is covering this area. However, you're going to be right in to do your one area, and that's all you're going to have to do. But since you're here today, I'm giving you a feel for how things are going to flow in the room. Now, Ms. Jones will be coming back, and she'll be doing frequent segments, bringing us up to date on what is going on with her itinerary. And before she leaves, I'm going to ask her to bring us up to date. And as a matter of fact, I'm going to ask you now if you can bring us up to date as to some of the events that you're planning on scheduling. And if you can give us the times and dates of those events, that will help us to know what's going on in the North Indiana area or Northern Indiana.
Yeah, sure. Here in Northwest Indiana, we have quite a few events planned. Let me tell you, right now there's a phone bank that I hold at my church every Saturday morning from 10 a.m. to 1 p.m. My church is located at 1917 Carolina Street in Gary, Indiana, and it is New Mount Moriah Missionary Baptist Church.
What time is that?
That's from 10 a.m. to 1 p.m. Every single Saturday. there's also a phone bank we recently just set up in East Chicago and in Hammond. The location in Hammond is at New Community Baptist Church, and the address is 5461 Calumet Avenue in Hammond. The location in East Chicago is at Merchants of Hope Enrichment Center, which is a wonderful place, where kids can go and flourish. It's more than a daycare. It's a school. It's a playground.
Where is that located?
That is located at 3741 MLK Drive or Martin Luther King Drive. The residents of East Chicago probably know that as Guthrieville. So, very wonderful place.
It's a family child care center. It's not a center.
Yes. Yes.
Okay.
Yes. And those phone banks are held on Thursday.
What is a phone bank exactly, Lauren?
Sure. Pardon me, our phone bank is where we get out the word that President Obama is running for re-election, if you didn't know already. They're also double as information sessions where you can come and you can learn more about Organizing for America and everything that's in place in your community. And you can also find out what other events that we have going on as well. One other thing that we're doing really, really big this year is voter registration. It's the single most important thing a young person can sign up to do. And the state of Indiana is really good about sending you your voter registration card if you just fill out the correct criteria. We make it really simple for you. We have a simple form, one page. It's like half a page. I highlight
Lauren, I have a question. I want to insert a question. I am not up to date, and I would suppose that there are quite a few others out there that may not be up to date. This last election that we had, how vital was it for the president to win those votes? And can you give us any statistics on where he stands on those votes? Has he advanced himself from that particular election or that voting that we had, or does he have to do double the work now because we didn't get the people out?
Oh, definitely double the work, that's for sure. 2010 was a huge election because that election, I feel that the ball was pretty much dropped as far as getting out the importance of it, creating that sense of urgency as to why people should get out and vote again, because the people running in that election, those are the people who help the president. They are his backup team. He can't do it all. He needs other people in place, you know, in the House, in the Senate, in Congress, and every other branch of the government. And because so many seats were lost, yes, now he's forced. He has even more opposition than he did when he first took the oath of office. So that was a crucial election. I do believe he's somewhat bounced back from it, but we won't see those effects for probably the next year or two.
So he needs to gain some momentum now and get
Definitely.
Those gaps closed. Now,
Definitely.
What type of voters are you going after to get registered?
Well, we're going after everyone, to be fair, but we're targeting the youth, the fresh out of high school, the newly 18, because, like I said before, it is the single most important right you can have as an American citizen, and voting changes everything. Everything. It's the one right where you can just voice your opinion and have it be heard and respected.
Now, Mrs. Lauren, speak to the audience. You have the media right at your hands and your beck and call. Now, speak to the audience and tell them exactly what you want them to know, and speak to them in the serious voice that you know how, so that they will hear it straight here live in the Care to Read room, what your intentions are and what you expect of them for this election that's coming up.
My intentions are to reach everyone we can possibly reach. And I mean that by, if you're interested and you want to see Barack Obama elected as president again in 2012, then you need to be doing everything you can to make sure that happens. You need to do everything in your power to make sure that happens, whether that be volunteering, making one call, two phone calls, signing up one person to get registered to vote, coming out to a community service event. It means doing everything, you know, writing your state representatives, your governor, your congressman, everything. You need to
now,
pay
attention
to
who can they contact in their neighborhoods? Who do they contact?
Depending upon where they live, they can always contact their congressman. In the state of Indiana, that's Pete Visklaski. Excuse me, I don't want to butcher his name. That
okay.
is Pete Visklaski. He's a Democrat in Indiana.
Can you give
them
your email? I do have your email posted here, but can you give them your email with BrightUX?
Yes.
Okay.
And
your website.
You can always reach me at Lauren, my first name, Lauren, LaurenElly, the number 5, at gmail.com. I'm always available there. And you can also go to my personal website, which is linked to my Gmail, but the actual website here, I will give that to you in just a second. Okay, it is sites.google.com/site/LaurenElY5. That is my personal site. You can also follow me on Twitter at LaurenElY5. That's my Twitter handle. I'm also on Facebook. You can type in Lauren Elise Jones to get to contact me any of those ways. I'm pretty much well connected. You can't not find me. Or you could Google. You could just Google my name, and all of those things will come up.
Well, we'd like to thank you so much, Ms. Lauren Jones, for being a part of our Care to Read show. And from the bottom of my heart, I thank you for being a part of all my segments today and for being available to be a part of the male treatment team so that we can offer the judges what it is they need to do to adjudicate these cases. And ladies and gentlemen, you have Mrs. Lauren Hill, who's been with us the whole 120 minutes. I know she's probably elated to know that she did the whole Care to Read program today. And
I'm,
we like
I'm Lauren Jones, but that's okay.
I
want to
finish
that's
up
okay.
just one note here. Now, what are you saying? I couldn't hear you. Go ahead.
I said, you know what, my nickname amongst my friends is Lauren Hill, L Boogie, a whole bunch of different things.
All right. Okay, look.
I'm Lauren.
All right. L Boogie. L Boogie,
yes,
y'all.
Ma'am.
L Boogie, y'all. And you know Lauren Hill is my favorite person.
Yes.
I felt a flush with fever.
Yeah, she's awesome.
In there is by the sound.
Yes,
I felt he read my letters and read each one aloud. I prayed that he would finish, but he just kept right on, strumming my face with his finger. He was killing me softly with his words, killing me softly with his word, killing me softly with his word, killing me softly with his word, killing me softly. Don't get me started, Lauren.
You have a beautiful voice. You do. You have a. You, now, see, I would have sang with you, but I'm in the choir at my church. But I like it because people are around me.
Oh,
and I'm not singled out.
Look, next time I see you, we're gonna have a Lauren Hill concert. And if you sing it long enough, you'll pick it up. You can pick it up. Now, ladies and gentlemen, I'd like to thank Mrs. Lauren Hill, L Boogie, y'all, for being here with us. Not the Lauren Hill. But I want to finish up this last segment and give you these 10 key factors before I forget. And it says here, and I quote, this is coming from our 0 to 10 book. It is our Bible. The introduction of the science of infants and toddlers' health demands that judges become familiar. They have to become familiar with early childhood development so that the courts can translate and interpret the information it receives not only from the infant mental health specialist, but also from the caseworker, which works with them, the case manager, and the parents and others. Now, here are the 10 items that you need to be aware of. Between birth and 3 years old, the brain cells connected that govern the sight of the hearing and language are mapping out excellent stimuli, and it's very important that those areas develop, including the memory and emotion and learning. Number two, from the first day of life, infants remember what happened in their lives, and they can recall it. And so far, they've showed that there is research where they can recall what happened in their life through memory. There's ways that they can link this information. Number three, and it says, smiles are very, very important. Gazes are important. Yawn, so we ought to look at the child to see that he's gazing and yawning because we want to make sure that he has some gestures. Some children don't thrive, and you don't know they're not thriving until it's too late. Okay, number four, it is now possible to identify signs of depression and other psychological disorders in babies as young as 3 years old. You can pick up these signs. Isn't that something? Number five, from birth, babies feel empathy towards other babies in distress. So they become distressful and they cry when they see others that are distressed. Number six, low birth weight. Now here's my baby. And prematurity leads to developmental challenges for infants, and it puts them in a greater risk for a range of medical problems. And some of these medical problems are brain damage, ladies and gentlemen. And 40% of the babies involved with the foster care system were born low birth weight, okay, or permanent or both. And it says more than half of these children suffer from serious health problems, including elevated lead blood. And I don't know where this is, lead blood is coming from, elevated blood lead, and chronic diseases such as asthma. These conditions make these infants more challenged to care for. So therefore, these children are the ones that are likely to be picked up by the foster care. And the findings of the disability of the children, see, these children become disabled at that point, and they have to be cared for differently. They have to be cared for differently. Number seven, developmental delays of infant diagnosed early can commemorate the early learning signs. If you catch them early enough and you can get service for them, then they can alleviate having tags and having labels. Half of all the foster children today, one half, are rated as having low birth rate. Can you believe that? Okay, in the population. And so when they go into these homes, they already have a problem. Number eight, flying below the radar screen is a federal alcohol spectrum disorder. Now, that means that now we're talking about children that have brain syndrome from alcohol. The ability for these children to learn is very difficult, and mothers sometimes hide it and don't tell you that this is a learning disability, and it's so hard to find that disability when they come into the school and they keep all this a secret, so you end up having children that you don't know how to remediate. Number nine, the single most important predicator of the child, the healthy growth and development, is the attachment he or she forms with his mother or with his significant mother. Loving and caring is attachment, is a problem. A secure emotional bond with a loving caregiver helps the infant to believe they are worthwhile and enables them to nurture themselves. So therefore, ladies and gentlemen, and finally, number 10, babies grieve when their caregiver disappears. Now, can you imagine how many grieving babies we have out there who don't have their mothers in the picture anymore? And a lot of these mothers take these children just for the check, and they neglect them, and they grieve further. So it is definitely a shame for infants not to have advocates, not to have buddies. Somebody's got to be looking at those little smiling faces and advocate for them on behalf of those little critters who can't talk. So I'm asking you, if you're out there and if you're in a community where the low birth rate is rather rapid in your community and there's a lot of infants and toddlers in the court system and they're overloaded, there's one place that you can volunteer for CASA. You can become a volunteer CASA for babies only. And you can go in and do something for those babies that they can't do for themselves and get involved with working with the court system and do a service to the community. Now, Lauren Jones has done a service for the community, and she's expressed herself very well here today as to what she intends to do for her country and for her president. She's made a commitment to be a volunteer and to be a leader in the area of organizing. You can organize yourselves in your community in the court system. Go to the court system and ask them about their family life department or their department for legal defense that deals with families and custody, parental rights, and ask what you can do. Ask not what you can do for your country, but what your country can do for you. I know that. But it's very important for you to go in and help these babies and become an advocate. It'll be so rewarding, and you will see the benefit. I'm sure you will. And we want to thank Ms. Lauren Hill for being here with us and for also giving us all that insight. And Ms. Lauren Hill, we have a favorite record that we always play in this room, and we played this record so much I should know it by heart. Heaven Hooked Us Up. I want to play that for you, one of my favorite. Heaven Hooked Us Up, y'all. We want to play this out of the Isley Brothers. Thank you so much, Ms. Lauren Jones, for being a part of our show. I know it's a long haul, 120 minutes. You didn't think you would go that long. You are now in doctor. Go ahead on, Isley.
in my hand. Girl, you bet a complete woman. So it's possible, but glad I found you and made you mine. And you never judge me for my past, my play away from way back. You still gave me a chance, and I'm glad just to be your man. Cause you're so perfect, like an angel, so precious, like a newborn. Just what I pray for. But now wherever you are, that's where I wanna be. Cause my faith, my love, my heart, my soul. Girl, your love feels so right. I'm happy that you're mine. I know you're perfect, like an angel, so precious, like a newborn. Just what I pray for.
I want you to know you are properly represented here today, and I do like to cater to young people. Mrs. Lauren Hill is one of the youngest people that I've ever interviewed other than Cal, who was 22. So you're in good company, Mrs. Jones, and we want to thank you for your momentum. We want to thank you for your commitment to political issues and getting out there and finding your gift in leadership. And I want to back you in whatever I can. I think that God is going to use you richly, and we want to say a prayer over you because I think all young people need to be prayed for. Father, we just reach our hands out to Lauren, who is a young political activist, and we ask that you cover her with your hand, Father. Put up a hedge around her and let nothing penetrate her efforts, Father. Let her go forward with a mission, Father, and let her go with a commitment that God is going to see her through. Let her begin this process, and this is a journey, Lord. Let her know that this is a journey, and give her encouragement to stay with it. Give her stability to continue the work, the good work that she started, Father. And, Father, don't let her work be spoken of evil. We pray that you send her laborers in the harvest that will labor with her together, Father. And we ask that you will anoint her head with oil, and surely in mercy shall follow her all the days of her life. And let her cup runneth over with oil, Father, and let her be blessed with the cup of oil, Father. And we just ask you to cover her parents who have done a great job in molding this young woman. And, Father, we thank you for the gifts you give us. And if we, being evil, can give good gifts to our children, how much more can you give us, Father, the Heavenly Father who asks? I say keep giving us good gifts, and let our children raise up and call us glory. And, Father, may you use our young people and use them expediently wherever they may be. I call them forth if they're 18, 20, 21, 22, 25. I call them forth that we will find these young people and we will put them out front, Father, and they will rise up and call their mothers blessed. And we rise up and call them blessed today. We bless you today, Lord. We bless you coming and going. You're blessed in the vineyard. You're blessed in the city. You're blessed in the field. You're blessed in the valley. You are blessed. And we decree this, that you will have houses that you didn't build with your own hands, and that you will be blessed wherever you go, and the name of God will be lifted up everywhere you go, and you will put him first. We decree it in the mighty name, and we say amen. In Jesus' name we say. And thank you so much, Lauren, for all that you've given us in input today and all of your position that you've filled our cups and our cups run over today. And I want to thank you. And we normally do this thing where we have to get out of here, so I'm going to call Cal to get me out of here because I do a disappearing act. Lauren, is there anything you'd like to say before you leave?
No, just thank you so much for the opportunity and the forum to voice this this cause that I am very passionate about. And please contact me if you're interested in getting involved.
And I was going to tell you that when this show is over, you can go back and you can download the actual desktop so you can hear it on the top of your computer like a radio, and then you can hear all my other future shows and your shows, this particular one as well. And do go to the website so that you can, you know, download that. And we do hope to have you back on the show again. And this is not only time. We're inviting you back next week where you can do your own little segment and you won't be on there as long. We just took you through all of this today because the majority of the people that were going to be here, I said, well, this is just good to give you a welcoming and get you involved in each one of the categories, but it won't be this long next time. And I want to thank you so much. And do you have anything or words of wisdom you can say to the young people?
Nothing, just going back to, you know, it's important to give back, and I urge other young people to join me in these efforts because it's truly beneficial to us more than
anyone. Now, you heard that, young people. You heard that. Do you want to say anything else to them, Ms. Jones?
That's all. Just reach out to me. I'm everywhere, Facebook, Twitter, everywhere.
And you don't have to be a politician to get involved.
No,
but you have to be
committed
to your community.
You may not need to, you don't know, if you don't know a lot about the issues, that's fine. If you just have the desire to give back because that's where your heart lies, then by all means, exercise those desires of your heart and go ahead and just get involved.
All right. You've heard it from Mrs. Lauren Jones, El Boogie, y'all. Don't make me have to do this. I'm going to have to do it. I'm feeling a song coming on. And they know I love to sing. Let's see. Let me think of one of her songs. Think of one of her songs. Let's see. I got to sing one of her songs. I can't think of
I got a laundry list of songs.
My
you don't
world
want me to sing them.
So fast again. The past, it seems so very far away. And life squeezes me so tight, I can barely breathe. And every time I try to be what someone else thought of me, I became so caught up that I was unable to achieve. But deep within my heart, oh, the answers were right there in me. And I made up my mind to define my own best destiny. And I, oh, I, oh, I, and I, gonna decide on my own destiny, my own destiny, my own destiny. And good night and Baba Booey to you, y'all. We got to take a train up out of here. I got to get up out of here.
Let's disappear.
you're about to disappear up out of here. This club is closed. We want to thank Lauren Jones for all of her input and her commitment to excellence for volunteering. We want to urge you to volunteer, and even if it be for the court system, to help our judges decide what babies need and what are their emotional attachment, and to speak to those entities about family life. This has been a Family Life production for you. We are a family and consumer science, and we are doing all that we know how to close the gap of disparity, to bring families into subjection, and to call us back into being again. And we thank you for listening to us. Please do listen to us on Monday. We won't be here tomorrow or Friday. Omi's going on sabbatical, so wish me well. I wish I had my slippers on and my swimsuit right now so I can just jump in the pool, but I'm going to have to wait it out. You know what I mean? Wait it out. All right, ladies and gentlemen, this club is closed right here. I'll see you on Monday, and bye-bye to you, y'all. Take care and have a safe weekend.